Hello, I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl who looked good. I would call.
Hello and welcome to the SC Ballers podcast. I'm your host and coach of the Terrace Crew, Matt Ricks. Well, was that just a weekend of footy or was it a weekend of footy? The finals week one delivered maybe the greatest round of finals of all time, culminating in that epic match between the Raiders and the Broncos, with the Raiders going down in extra time, in golden point extra time, to the Broncos 29-28. We are here now ahead of finals week two, where we have the Raiders versus Sharks and the Bulldogs versus the Panthers to get through to play the Storm and Broncos in the preliminary finals. And it is round two of NRL Supercoach Finals, which is what we're here to talk about. Joining me tonight is coach of the Casabonitas, all the way from miserable London. The only thing more miserable than London is how he's feeling. Danny Boy Ricks. Danny Boy, how are you, mate?
Yeah, g'day, Matty. You said I feel a bit miserable. I guess
a little bit
under the weather. But you know, we're pushing through Supercoach Finals. It's a long year. We're getting there. Love the finals on the weekend. It's great. I don't have to make as many excuses to watch the footy with less games on. That Broncos Raiders game was sensational, absolutely sensational. And fortunately, got to watch the whole Sharkies game too, which was nice. Caught up with a mate who was over from Sydney, hadn't seen him for 8 years, or Melbourne, sorry, I should say. He's a big Sharks fan as well, so got to cheer that home.
How good. The Sharkies played well, and it's going to be it's a tough game, but a winnable game versus the Raiders this week, I think, for the Sharks.
I think so. It was a big. You'd say they're probably pretty demoralised, the Raiders, after that performance. 95 minutes, one less day on the backup. The stars are maybe aligning for the Sharks. I'm not sure. They're still a very good outfit, and Ricky will certainly have them fired up.
Yeah, I don't think I've enjoyed a final series weekend as much as that. I went to the Storm game on Friday night, and then obviously the Sharks game was great, and then the Sunday game was just a joke. Like, I've never seen a game of footy like that. It's hard in the moment to say that it's the best game ever or the best finals game ever, but it's certainly the most dramatic. I would say it's the most dramatic moment or period of time in the NRL since the 2015 grand final. Do you think that's fair?
I do. Yeah. Edge of the seat stuff. I was a bit disappointed that the Bulldogs got those injuries in that game that you went to. It could have been three absolutely massive spectacles. But, looking forward to this weekend, some big games coming up.
Yeah, let's power through the housekeeping, Dan. And we got the Baller 3K Finals Challenge, the biggest prize in NRL Supercoach. It's also one of the biggest leagues out there. So the number one in the league at the moment is Kyle, coach of Falsely Accused. He had a 10.56. So a big score for him on the weekend, and he's well-placed to take down the 3K challenge, winner takes all, but 3 weeks to go, so plenty of time for those in the league to make up ground. Dan, this week's been big at Baller Towers. We've launched Discord. So I know you're a big Discord man.
Discord.
Been in there. Yeah. So,
I'm a lurker.
Lurker, yeah. No, lurker. Plenty of lurkers in there.
Great, but great intel.
We want to get people chatting in there and build up that community, so... it's a wonderful place to go for like-minded people to chat Supercoach and other fantasy sports and all sorts going on in there. I'm in there all the time. Tubes has been popping his head in, particularly for the NFL. Big NFL guy, Tubes. So he's been in there. All you got to do is go to baller.live/discord and that'll take you through. You just got to be a member at baller.live. You've got to be signed up at baller.live and you'll be able to get straight in. So you can come in and have a chat to us. All the contributors are in there. And everyone's poking their head about. So with some really good, really cool people in there already and some of the Baller community. So please get involved in that. Now, the other big news at Baller Towers, Dan, today, actually, Tuesday, we've dropped Baller Wrapped. Have you unwrapped your wrapped yet?
I haven't unwrapped it. I only saw it this morning had a bit of a rough night's sleep, so I wanted to go back to bed. But I'm very much looking forward to unwrapping my year. I saw yours and Tubes was a big fan. I think he re-quoted with a trumpet emoji on Twitter for yourself, you finishing 23rd. Yes. It looks great.
Yeah. So for those unaware of Spotify Wrapped, it's very much in the mold of that. So basically you can go to baller.live/wrapped or you can find the links anywhere on social media and you can go in there and generate generate your own personalized wrapped for your team, and it will give you your overall rank, what your highest rank of the season was, what the lowest rank of the season was, who your MVP was. So it was Nico Hines for me. Dan, I might even share this just so people watching on video can get a bit of a taste for it. So my MVP was Nico Hines, who scored 2386, including captain. Storm was the team from where my most points came from. Round 10 was my best round. Teddy's 189 was the highest score of the year. So bittersweet, those high scores, if you haven't captained them, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. It's interesting. Six VC loops. I probably would have said at the start of the year you would have used that a bit more.
I mean, 6 out of 27 is still a lot. Like, it's 1 in 4.5 rounds. So, you know, you got to get a fair bit going right still to do it. That's up on like 2 from last year, I think. So 2 or 3. So it's still a big jump. And then you can go on there and share your app to social media. So really cool. I think we're going to have a merch pack winner, Dan. We'll sort that out tomorrow. But we might have a merch pack winner for whoever's used the most VC loops on their baller wraps.
Yeah, I've just done mine, Matty. It took me less than a minute. It's quite interesting. Similar with James Tedesco, 189 top score. Funnily enough, round one was my lowest ranking, and round 2 was my highest ranking. So I don't know what happened after round 2, but it's obviously all downhill from there.
Yeah, a few wayward trades. So I think you traded Purdue in round 3, didn't you? That was the
Didn't get Shiba. Shout outs to the Alamotti in and out one round, Kale Iro in and out one round. You know, wasn't a great trade year this year.
Ah, well, that's all right. Got to give a shout out to all the prize winners from the Run Home Challenge. So we've paid cash into most of those winners' bank accounts this week, which is awesome. We're still after some prize and merch winners. So Anthony, coach of Feb Dogs, Mohammed, coach of Birdo's Left Foot, Luke, Pain in Your Heart. You've all got cash just waiting, burning a hole in our pocket, waiting to be sent to you. And merch pack winners, Adrian, coach of Archers Champions, Jack, coach of Flannos Flops, Dan, coach of Tukey's Torpedoes, and Shane, coach of the Tomahawks. You guys have all got merch packs and cash. Please hit us up on socials or social@baller.live to claim your prizes.
What about Andrew King? Put him in the circus. Put him somewhere. This game.
All right, Dan, let's get into round 2 of the NRL Finals Supercoach game. Now, how'd you go week 1? Let's just recap quickly.
I did pretty well. 943, I believe. I was not looking good early on, picking the likes of Edwards and Meany. I went for the kind of all-out fullback strategy, but very much salvaged it in that final round, captaining Reece Walsh. I think you were similar as well.
Yeah, I had 975, so pretty good score. I'm 109 off the lead, so off the whole thing. I captained Walsh on Sunday and vice-captain Haas. I just didn't get Cleary, so that was my kind of move that I tried to make. But in hindsight, I should have just got him and not captained him because he was so heavily owned. I will be buying Cleary this week, spoiler alert. Yeah. I don't think there's any reason to not get him this week. I was pretty happy. Most of my guys all came off, no real terrible scores. So it just reinforced to me, Dan, though, that probably the most important thing is just nailing your captain. You have to basically get the best captain of the week or you're Gonski.
Yep. You have to get the top scorer as your triple point scoring captain.
Yep.
That's the main thing that matters. If I didn't do that, I'm – you know, a score of down with tubes at 600, 700. Like, it's not working out.
Yeah. And then I mentioned on the Sunday snap too, but the roles of these players is just so important. Like, what role are they playing in their team in the finals? Because they tend to be a bit tighter these games, a bit lower scoring generally. Obviously, we saw a lot of points in that Raiders-Broncos match, but that was from the role players, like the Hudson Youngs, Reece Walsh and Payne Haas of the world.
Yeah. A day game final as well. Sunny Canberra really helped the points flow. I thought I didn't want to take too many Roosters, but I thought that would be a tight battle, Roosters Sharks. So I laid that whole game. I don't think I had anyone in that game, and went heavy in the last game, knowing it would be a day game.
Yeah, There's a day game this week too, obviously. So they're playing Sunday afternoon, Bulldogs v Panthers. So that's probably a game to target, although it's pretty hard to target Bulldogs at this stage, isn't it? Play with that matchup against Penrith and just with the injuries they've got.
Yeah, it is. You can find a couple, you know, as we'll talk about. There's always a few there, but you know, just the standards and a few role changes at the Bulldogs. So as you said, you would have thought it would be less thinking with less players to choose from, but yeah, there's plenty of work to do this week.
Just before we get stuck into our positional analysis, so just a reminder for the rules for this week, so you can make unlimited trades on the team you had last week, pick any player, and this week it's a max of 3 players per team. So last week it was 2, obviously only two games this weekend, so they've upped those numbers. So the next 2 rounds will be 3 players per team. And I think it's fair to say, Dan, that you're going to want 3 Panthers, so thinking strategically around which Panthers you want is going to be quite important.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think you could get away with 2. It's like if you're more than 100 off the lead now, like you've got to go pod. Like there's such a template team this week, I think, to choose from. So I think you've got to go against the grain in some ways. It's probably just where you make those moves is the most crucial, which position.
Yeah, the positional stuff is the big stuff. Like where do you want to pot up? There are a couple of good positions to do that. Let's get into it, Dan. And one of the positions that you probably don't want to pot up, and the reason why you don't want to pot up there is because there's literally no options available to pot up, is hooker. So by my count this weekend, there are 3 hookers that you can pick from. Brayley, Starling, and Luke Summerton. So I don't think we can really take Luke Summerton. He had 28 points last week. He split shifts with Brad Schneider. How are you feeling about the Brayley v Starling? Brayley's the obvious one, but Tommy Starling got huge minutes last week.
Yeah, obviously Ricky trusts him, but I don't know why. I know you guys were saying like that might have been a good move to keep Starling on for 80, but he did all those 70 points in base. He was absolutely gassed.
Gassed, yeah.
He's not a big body, so he needs that fitness. And if he's just not making those effective tackles, I think that really cost him through the middle a little bit. So I would expect Ricky to actually go back to basics, go back to what he's been doing all year, and probably run Starling out for maximum 65 this week and get Owen Paddy on at some stage.
And so does that mean that you think you'll just lock Brayley in?
So I'm going Luke Summerton. No. yeah, lock and load. Lock and load, Brayley. I'm a Sharks fan, but I've been death riding Brayley all year, but he's looked the goods. He got another try assist on the weekend, I believe. So his base has been down a little bit, but you'd expect that base to be big in these final games.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to go too wrong with Starling or Brayley. Brayley just for the ceiling. Like he can turn up.
Yep.
Starlo can't really turn up. Like it'd be very unlikely. So yep, Brayley for me there as well. Front row forward, Dan. A couple more options, but still pretty bare. No Payne Haas this week. Joe Tarpany was the highest averaging regular season front row of those available. Any reason why you wouldn't want to go Tarpany here, Dan? He still looks like the pretty clear best pick.
I think so. I do like Corey Horsburgh's role this year. In the back end of season, the last few games, he's played big minutes, 70 minutes. He's looking for work. He's angry. He's busting tackles. He's getting the offload away. Even though I've liked that role, I still think Joe Tapane is the best pick this week. I think Broncos did a very good job at containing his offload and containing him in general. So I'd expect a big bounce back. It is tough, though. He's up against a very good Sharks pack, and they're rolling off this unbelievable bench at the moment. But I expect him to be 65 minutes or 60 minutes at least.
Again, like high floor, high ceiling, and they're the type of guys you want in this format, I believe. So, like, Corey Horsburgh has a very high floor. Actually, it's not even that high, but he has no ceiling. And he played 70 minutes on the weekend because he played the entirety of Golden Point and extra time. So you take that off. And Taps' minutes were a little inflated too. I would expect Taps to get 55 to 60. I don't think his role is going to change that much.
Yeah.
But he is capable of some attack. Adam Fanua Blake, Dan, it still just doesn't look great to the eye. I thought he was very impactful when he came back on for his second stint the other night. I didn't think he was that impressive in his first stint, but he just doesn't look like breaking it open like he, you know, seasons past.
Yeah, he's not as super coach relevant at this moment. He's not offloading as much. He's not busting the line as much. He's doing a great job. Like that, as you said, that second stint, he did very well for Sharks, but that didn't equate to super coach points on the weekend. So I would definitely steer clear of AFB. There's a couple of other Sharkies that are on offer this week that you can pick up. So I'd probably look to more of the attacking upside in the Sharks. One pod I'd probably say is Lindsay Smith. Yeah. That is like if he gets the right role, I know they're a bit stacked in those sort of middle rotations and it's a bit volatile. But Lindsay Smith, I think, has been great this year. Big worker. And if Dogs are absolutely carked this week, he could get over for a try as well.
Yeah, he scored in the regular season. He actually scored 4 tries in the last 9 games. So he can sniff one out there close to the line. And he's got a high floor, really good floor, probably around 60 points. So he's not going to let you down. I would be reluctant to use him as one of my Penrith slots, is what I would say. I'll be lock and load in Tarpany. It's just not a position I want to muck around with, I don't think. Second row forward, Dan, speaking of not mucking around, Hudson Young on the weekend was in beast mode. He set up a try with a kick. He scored a try off a kick. He tackle busted for fun. And he turned up 101 points. Looked great. He's the clear choice at 2RF this week. Can you mount an argument to go against Huddy Young? There are some decent pods out there.
No, I don't. I think this is a place you don't want to pot up. He looked in everything on the weekend. His injury, which was the groin one, was being managed back end of season. But you know, if the game's close, he wants his hands on the ball. So I think he's a must this week at second row forward.
Yeah, I tend to agree. Kickout, I think, could be in the conversation. A couple of things against kickout for me are Penrith, very tough matchup. And the other one is that eye socket, Dan. I probably defer to you on that. So there's a chance he's got a small fracture in his eye socket. It's obviously good enough that he can play. We saw he copped a whack there on the weekend. He had to go off for 15 minutes. That could really, another whack there and it could be lights out, so to speak.
Yeah. Depends where the fracture is. If it's a hairline fracture that's not near like the orbital socket of the eye, that's the big risk with a fracture. If you get hit again there and it's close to there, you can have some real permanent eye damage. So I think if it's a hairline fracture on a different area, you can risk it because obviously, you know, I mean, we see in rugby league people get hit in the head all the time, but you're not going for the head most of the time. And obviously he's getting sign off some of the docs. So yeah, I think I would expect him to line up. I still don't like Viliami Kikau. I think it's too volatile. I think his floor is too low. So I don't really like him when you've got the likes of an 80-minute Hudson Young.
Yeah.
There. If I'm going to go pod, maybe Kikau, but Preston as well could be an option. Yeah. Get over for a try. We know he's got like just his base will be there. And Teague Wilton maybe on that right, the left edge for Sharks coming up against the right edge of the Raiders. Ultra pod.
We'll talk more about that right edge of the Raiders when we get to center wing. Isaiah Yeo as well, obviously rock solid floor, probably lacks the ceiling, but he could sniff a try or try assist. I'd probably have Yeo as my second pick at 2RF.
Yep.
And also, if you want a safe flex, I don't think that's really the way to go. Once again, high floor, high ceiling is what this format demands. All right, Dan, halfback. Now, Cleary is the very obvious one here. And I think this is a good place to talk about flex. I just can't. I left Cleary out on the weekend. I suppose let's touch on, like, could you leave Cleary out if you want to chase rank? This is a way that I can do it if I can get Cleary to score a 40. Is that viable this week? I guess it is.
It is. But as you said, they're playing the Sunday game. So the other two halfbacks worth considering playing the night game, Fogarty and Hines. I mean, this is, you know, it seems like a no-brainer. So I think you can carry, like, I'm considering two halfbacks, so one in the flex. And yep. I just say make sure you put Cleary in the flex and your other halfback before that. But because it's Sunday game, if something happens, and if you want to switch around captains as well.
Right. Okay. So Cleary, well, may as well talk about those options there. So Hines and Fogarty are the other two in the position. Mm-hmm. How do you assess those guys as a halfback option?
Yeah, I brought in Fogarty for Supercoach this year, but it was primarily due to the run that Raiders had through the bye period. He scored very well on the weekend. If it's a grinding game, he's going to be the fifth tackle option for those bombs all the time. But he needs attacking stat. He needs to get three try assists to be relevant.
Yeah, he could get it. Baller projections have him at 70, Hines 73. It doesn't feel like a 150 game for Hines away at Canberra. In saying that, I still would feel more confident that Hines out of the two would be the one to score 150 here.
Definitely.
So I think I'm going to be Hines over. But Hines is currently my halfback in Cleary and in the flex, but we can get into some other flex options there later because I don't think it's a matter of you have to take Hines at flex. It's definitely not as clear cut as that. All right, Dan, 5'8", a little bit more interesting, a very even bunch at 5'8" here. So we've got guys like Talagi, Ethan Strange, Matty Burton, who's been named at center this week, filling in for Stephen Crichton at this stage. Crichton is named in the extended bench, jersey 23. Bit of Michael Jackson, David Beckham action with the jersey there, Shane Warne. Some great number 23s. Lockie Galvin and producer Gramsy's thrown in a real wild card here. Braden Trindle, Dan. He had a great game NRL-wise on the weekend. He scored a right for Supercoach too. Ball projection of only 42, but could Tricky be in the reckoning?
He played unbelievable and got a 63, so that's a big pass for me.
Yeah.
I like the look of Strange, but I didn't like the lack of attack that he was getting. Although he did drop a ball when Hudson Young put him away in a gap, which would have gone to 90 plus there. So he's definitely an option. I think his floor is pretty good. I'm on Blaise Talangi this week. I just think Dogs could be in big trouble this week. I think Panthers are going to be on top. And, one of the three Panthers I'm looking at is Blaze.
Yeah, Blaze and the Monster Machine. Shout out to all the dads out there. I think it's Blaze or Strange. I wouldn't be overthinking it. Blaze is a walking, talking 50. Like, he's going to get 50. I don't know. Yeah. I don't care if he scores a try, sets up a try, he's going to score 50. Strange is the one with the ceiling. He's got multiple tons. It's an elimination final, so Sharks, if Raiders can get ahead and Sharks really drop their bundle, Strange could go big. I'm on Strange at the moment. I think he's the obvious play, but certainly I think Blaze is equally as good in a game. Similar, Panthers could really put one through the Doggies, and there's no reason why Blaze can't pick up some of that attack. It has been a bit of a struggle for him this year, though, Dan. Like, he hasn't had that real breakout game where he's really dominated. I mean, it's very hard next to Cleary.
Yeah, it is, and it's still pretty fresh. I think he's done a good job, but it is always a second fiddle position, that 5'8", when you've got Cleary in the team.
It's just
he's such a good ball runner though. So if he's getting his hands on the balls, he's a chance of attack. Same with Strange. You know, if both of them just get their hands on the ball, like Strange looked great on the weekend. He was unlucky sometimes not to break through other times other than that one off Hudson Young. So the one I would say, I was all on Matt Burton but obviously gone to the centres. I think that role just negates him as an option now.
Yeah, more likely for a try probably, but it's just, yeah, it's not. It's
he will be goal-kicking, sure.
Yeah, he'll be goal-kicking, yep. Yep. Not for me. It all comes back to role, and Strange has the best role out of that lot. So I'll be going with Ethan, I think.
Send him off! Send the dirty guys off! Get him off the field! That were diabolical!
Center wing, Dan, much more open. So Brian To'o, once again, the highest ball of projection with a, just check the updated rating, 69. So he's pretty well clear of Sav Tamale, who was awful on the weekend, 64, and Kiraz, 61. Smokey, that I know you're keen on, is Cale Iro. Now, the Raiders looked very, very dicey down their right edge defence. Cale Iro will be going down there all day. Him and Ronnie, pod options for the Sharks there. We just haven't quite seen Iro back to his best since his return from that pec injury. And me and Tubes debated on the pod whether, on the Sunday snap, whether the lack of bench that Iro would have been able to do while recovering from that pec would have impacted his size and strength, and maybe that's impacted him a bit.
Yeah, potentially. I mean, also just maybe a bit tentative coming back into it as well from a big injury. Maybe they've rushed him back a little bit as well to get him some match fitness before the finals.
Yep.
You don't know. But he is an absolute class player. I won't be surprised if he's, you know, top two centers in the game in the next few years. So
well, he was before he left, wasn't he, this year, before he got injured.
Yeah, so I'm on board Cale Iro. I think there's a argument to suggest you put two center wings in your team, one in the flex this week, and go for the high ceiling guys. We know the Kiraz has a ceiling. I don't mind up against he'll be up against the left edge, won't he? So that's McLean and To'o. And Blaze on that side. So I don't mind him as an option. I think he still can ton up quite easily with a try or two. To'o is a big option. But yeah, for me, it's probably Cale Iro locking in that center wing spot.
Brian To'o over the left end. He had 72 with a runaway intercept try on the weekend. There was enough there to suggest if a game opens up that, you know, that left edge is still going to be really profitable for someone like To'o. I can see why he's the number one pick on the baller rankings this week.
Yeah, I don't know about, like, with To'o, with his base work, there's a lot of base men at the back now for Panthers. So I don't think he has to do as much. And, you know, without that try on the weekend, he was still only getting a 50. I think he had a line break. He's still absolute class player, and he's a big game player as well. So you can't really go wrong. But I just think his base, a bit like Dylan Edwards on the weekend, I don't think it looked as good because there's just so many options and he just didn't get involved as much.
Yeah, your boy Alamotti looked good coming out of the backfield. Casey McLean's got to be still a good option. Like he's looked good again. He got 45 on the weekend. Was that with a try? It's a bit gross.
Yes, it is. Mm. Yeah. Probably the way the game played, but yeah, still options. It's like in the year, it's kind of like center wing, bit of a pick 'em. Got to get lucky, got to get the attack.
So how do you weigh up? Like, do you think it's viable to take one of those center wings at flex rather than a Hines?
Yeah, I'd be comfortable if you've got Cale Iro, two of Cale Iro, Brian To'o, or Jacob Kiraz.
Yeah,
I think that's fine.
What about Ronnie?
I wouldn't take Cale Iro and Ronnie. There's just not probably with a tight.
What about night the stack? Game.
You could stack. Yeah, it's ballsy.
Yeah,
it's ballsy.
I mean that's the kind of play this kind of game, I think, you know, that you kind of need in a game like this.
Yeah, you need Trindle to fire massively.
Mm. Take Trindle as well. Or Hines, the left side stack.
Hines to be floating both sides. That might be an option.
I actually don't mind that, but maybe might be better off doing that at Penrith with McLean and To'o.
Yep.
That's interesting strategy.
Blaze and To'o on the left.
Tomoko's obviously got to be some sort of option as well there against the Sharks left edge. He hasn't really been in form the last couple of weeks, but he's had a good season and he's got a very good ceiling as well. So I'll just throw him into the mix. Fullbacks, Dan. Again, not much doing at fullback this week with only the four teams running out. So the options are KO Weeks, Connor Tracy, Dylan Edwards, and William Bubba Kennedy. I think we can write Kennedy out as an option, Dan, before we start.
Yes, we can.
Yes. So I thought he actually had a really good game, Kennedy, on the weekend. He scored 30. So much like Braden Trindle, just not an option here. Dylan Edwards, Dan, is by far the most obvious pick here. I would need some serious convincing not to take Edwards at fullback.
Yeah, I'm trying to look at. I don't. Is there's a couple of duels at the moment, but I'd even look to a dual centre wing fullback, but there's none there. There's just no options. So yeah, you've got to take him. I guess, like, is there a potential you put a captaincy on him? That would be the only differentiator with Dylan Edwards this week.
Yeah, just to rank the other two, I would go Weeks over Tracy.
Yeah.
Tracy is just, the matchup's too hard. He needs a lot of attack, Tracy, and I just don't think he's going to get it this week. Weeks, he's just not one of mine, but he does have a ceiling. Like, he got 81 on the weekend with a couple of try involvements. Yeah, I just don't think he can really match Edwards pound for pound.
Yep.
All right, Dan, let's chat. Let's chat captains because, oh, sorry, just around fullbacks out, you wouldn't take any of those fullbacks in the flex, would you, unless it was Edwards? Unless you were really hot on one of the other guys to play fullback?
No, definitely not. No, none of them have the floor. Like, you've got to get lucky with this and you can go all out, but, you know, if you're picking wrong and you're getting a floor, it's just dead in the water.
So just to recap the flex strategy, because we sort of weaved it in there, Hines or a center wing pod?
Yep, center wing pod for the upside for attack two halfbacks. And I said about putting Cleary in the flex. Like, last week, there was a slight bit of doubt about Reece Walsh, so I put him in the flex as the last game because I had him as captain, and then I could have changed over captains to Payne Haas. So it's probably not going to happen, but we've all been burnt in Supercoach before with something like that.
Yep. The good thing is you can. Yeah. Well, actually, this week you're not going to be able to put in any replacements. There might be no one left in that position to put in.
in flex? No, you can put anyone in flex.
I know. No, I meant, yeah, exactly. That's why you need to set it up properly. But like, you just say you got to, like, I don't know. You got to play Luke Summerton somehow. Yeah. I don't know. It's not going to happen. But all right, Dan, so captaincy, we spoke about how important it is. This is the make or break. We got Walsh right on the weekend, triple points. I got Haas for vice-captain. Who'd you vice-captain? Haas as well?
I have vice-captain Cleary.
Cleary, okay.
Yeah.
How are you approaching captaincy this week?
I'm just going for the players I think are going to have the biggest game. I've got the triple point captain on Nathan Cleary. What else do you have to say? I think he's got the biggest upside with the team that's going to be the most dominant, I believe, over the weekend. And from what I saw on the weekend, I've got the VC on Hudson Young because I just know he's going to be everywhere. Even though I'm a Sharks fan and I'm hoping he doesn't do that well, I just think he's still going to base at least 60. He's going to have offloads. He's going to, he's always a chance to score a try.
Yeah, there's just no one really with a ceiling. So Cleary is the far and away obvious captain choice this week. There's no Reece Walsh types out there this week. I will 100% be captaining Cleary, which is not that much fun, but I think it's just by far and away the right play. Vice-captain, yeah, Hudson Young is the second highest projected player of the week. Dan, your pick there, that feels quite obvious as well. I like doing a center wing or a center wing pod, yeah, like one of those for Vice as well. Mm-hmm. I think you just have to nail it. So there might be two center wings who can outscore Hudson this weekend. You've just got to find who they are. So if you've got a strong opinion, I wouldn't be scared to back that. I don't think you can VC Brayley. I don't think you can VC Strange. And I don't think you can maybe Joey Tapps as a good base VC.
No, it doesn't get 80. So you're just losing value when he's off the field. But I think, as you said, a VC centre wing, one of the wingers, so a Carrazza, To'o, someone who's going to be the back end, even Ronaldo Mulitalo, like we saw on the weekend.
Trying to get a hat-trick.
Exactly. Wingers for a hat-trick. VC, you can go for it.
Yep. All right, Dan, that will wrap us up for tonight. Nice, short, sharp pod for your round two of NRL Supercoach Finals. Now, Dan, we've got a very, very special presentation dropping later this week. I'm going to be sitting down with Finn, aka FT, the coach of Vaffin, who took out the Supercoach title this year. That's an exclusive chat on Baller. And that's going to be dropping into your podcast feeds and on YouTube later this week. Pretty exciting stuff.
Yeah, great. Good guy, Finn. How's his stuff?
Yeah, it should be good just to get a bit of insight as to how he thought about his season, what was sort of going through his mind, how he approached things, and what was important to him. And I think it'll be just a really going to be a really good listen for any you know, super coaches who want to get a bit more insight into how the best players think about the game. And I'm keen to chat about him to him as well, Dan. I was chatting to you about how it impacted his life, just generally the stress of being that high in super coach and how consuming it is, because at the end of the day, it is just a game, but it does consume a lot of our lives from time to time.
Yeah, you're preaching to the choir. Like, I mean, way back when in 2014, I was first for 8 weeks, and I just remember it was all consuming. It's all yeah. You did. I remember that was back in the day when you'd only get like 2 gigs of data on your phone, and I remember maybe reloading my phone 3 or 4 times through the month just because I was on it so much with SuperCoach. And then, yeah, finding SIM cards in Italy when I was traveling, like it was just horrendous. But, he's obviously done well and stuck with it and, got the cash.
Should be a good chat for your listening pleasure this Thursday. So thank you very much, listeners, for joining us tonight, and best of luck for the NRL Round 2 SuperCoach Finals. Danny Boy, I'll let you see us out.
Cheers, Matty. You beauty.